Today's episode of Hustle and Motivate is presented by the Underdog Newsletter, a short, bite-sized rundown of the best underdog stories in sports, hand-picked and delivered to your inbox every Tuesday. Each week, we dig into the deepest corners of the sports universe to bring you the stories that don't always grab the national headlines. Articles, videos, and podcast interviews with the long shots, role players, and underdogs beating the odds. To sign up, just go to jokermag.com/newsletter. That's jokermag.com/newsletter. After 4 years of going to college to be a teacher, Chris Malley flipped the script and decided to pursue his dream of becoming a sports writer. Today, he writes for 4th and John, a popular Eagles sports blog, and has accumulated over 4,200 Twitter followers. In the span of a few months, he went from a kid with no writing experience to a well-known up-and-coming Philly sports analyst. I've known Chris since middle school baseball, and he was always such a positive, upbeat guy. His mentality and approach to life will no doubt inspire you to go after your dreams. So, here is Chris Malley. All right, Chris, so do you want to tell me a little bit about what you were like growing up? I know your love for Philly sports runs pretty deep.
So growing up as a kid in Philadelphia, my dad was a huge sports guy growing up. He was awesome at basketball, and I had an older brother, 4 years older, my brother Tim, and it was always competitive with us. We were always dipping into different sports. My dad didn't really push us into anything, which is great. We kind of just fell in love with our own by ourselves. Soccer, baseball, hockey, football. I wrestled in middle school. And the big thing is I was always open to everything. My mom and dad always preached that, like always have an open mind with meeting people, trying new things. And I still live by that. Funny enough is I was so into football. I was set to play football in college. And then senior year, I was just like working out at the track, just getting ready for football for freshman year of college. And my middle school football coach was the high school track coach and said, "Hey, man, we don't have anyone that can throw a javelin. Have you ever done that before?" I'm like, "Dude, I've never seen anyone do that before." He said, "Well, go to this track meet at Upper Darby, see what happens." I end up throwing like the second farthest throw in school history without any practice. And I end up doing really well, get a Delcos, get a States, end up walking on to Westchester. End up being top 10 there, get to nationals. It's pretty weird path, but I'm really glad that all happened. I mean, through the ups and downs, 6 days a week practices, 4 hours, like it was tough, but I met a lot of great people, and it kind of just like all led to like everything that I'm doing now.
That's crazy. So did you go to Westchester for like the education because you wanted to be a teacher? And then you just kind of walked on, and that was like an afterthought?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was accepted to Penn State, Pitt, Westchester, Drexel, Widener, all the local schools around here. But for some reason, I didn't even know exactly what I wanted to do. I got talked to about doing like an engineering program. I've always kind of like been open to everything, and I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do. But then when I visited Westchester, I sat in on a history major meeting, and it was just such an awesome experience. They talked about the teaching program. I've always liked history, even though I wasn't always like super into history in high school, but I always liked history, sports history, like history in general, global history, not American history. And I just jumped right into it. Wanted to be a teacher for a long time. I always felt a connection to helping people, trying to be a part of the solution, not the problem. And yeah, that's what happened. Freshman year, I didn't even do track. I just really wanted to focus on school, get started on with the solid GPA. And then my sophomore year is when I walked on to the Westchester track team.
So this whole track thing, I really didn't know all this about you. Like, so you start late your senior year of high school, don't even do it your freshman year of college, and then you end up setting some school records at Westchester, right? And you go to nationals and all that stuff. Wow.
So the Nationals was not with the Westchester team. It was actually with my summer team. But the cool thing is Dr. Singh, he has his practice right on Saxter Ave where we grew up. He actually was on the 1980 Olympics team, but unfortunately that's when they boycotted because of the Soviet Union. So he never got to go to the Olympics. And then before the next Olympics, he actually threw his shoulder out. So he always was like vicariously living through his son and people like me who he helped train. So I've always tried to find the right people to learn stuff from. It's been the same with everything. You always need mentors. I mean, we're watching The Last Dance right now, and you see how much Kobe Bryant was learning from Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was learning from the people before him. Like, that's how it is. And that's something that I really take notice to in the industry that we're in, people that try to help people. And that's how we try to be. And that's why we're having this conversation right now. People who are very confrontational, they kind of stand out. The big thing is that in anything in the world, I mean, our field is kind of a microcosm for it all, is people helping people, people telling stories, and trying to make people feel good about something that they're doing in life, or try to help them push toward a better path in life rather than trying to put them down or put emphasis on the negatives in life.
That I couldn't have said any better. So I want to get into like what you were thinking about as a career back then, because you did say you wanted to be a teacher, you're into the history stuff. How did that kind of grow as – like, how did that change as you grew and as you got older?
So the funny thing is my grandma, who I'm super close to, when I was younger, as soon as I put on, like, my first pair of glasses of terrible vision, my grandma always called me, like, professor. And, like, it was always, like, a joke in my family because people said I always would, like, come to family parties and I wouldn't hang out with my cousins. Even though I'm close with my cousins, I'd go to the adult table and I would tell them about something, or I'd want to learn something from them. And I'd always have, like – everyone always said I was, like, mature for my age, because I'd always have, like – super deep conversations about like life or just like something going on in like the world when I was like super young. And people were like, well, you're going to be a teacher when you're older. Ended up going to Westchester, which is one of the best universities if you're pursuing that career. I absolutely loved the program there. The teachers and all my peers there were first class. I loved it. I finished. I mean, I have everything done for teaching, minus like the last test that I had to do. I didn't do that because it was like a couple $100s and I knew I wasn't officially going to become a teacher. I still keep in touch with all my classmates and my teachers. They love reading my stuff and seeing the stuff that I do now. I talk to all my high school teachers. They're great. And that's the thing, though. Like, when you're in high school, some people have great experiences, some people have bad experiences, but overall is – there's a lot of good people there. I love, like, without a lot of the teachers that I met in high school and college, I wouldn't be who I am today. Awesome stories. And the big thing that people need to realize is everyone's a human, man. I mean, I get people have these labels like teacher, student, like principal, but all these people, like once you get to know them, like there's always something that you can relate to them with. And they're all just trying to live life, man, sort it out and just try to figure out how to be better people every day.
For sure. So tell me about, you got into a little bit about the writing and stuff. Tell me about the day you had a change of heart.
So crazy enough was for my senior year of college, was a little hectic. We lost a lot of our friends while we were in college. Freshman year, we lost one of our really close friends, Mike Gade, to cancer. That was really tough. It really opened my eyes and put perspective and stuff in life in general, saying like, this was one of the nicest guys I knew, hardest working guys we knew. And just like that, he passed away. And then another one of my friends, Evan Lennon, passed away. And then like, it was crazy. I mean, within 4 years of being in college, about like 10, 11 people I knew, had died. And it was kind of a wake up call. Like, listen, like, if I'm unhappy with what I'm doing or feel 100% into what I'm doing, like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? And that was kind of like the wake up call I needed. And then the thing that really sparked it was senior year. Everything's going really well. Track's going well. School's going well. I have close to a 4.0 my senior year, while balancing that with track. and I was like set up to teach. Student teaching was going well, and then I remember my friend Nick Bertelli passed away from cancer. Sean Lachlan passed away, and like all this happened within like a month period near the Super Bowl. And the craziest thing was like it was almost like a fate thing where like we saw the Eagles have like it was just like destiny that they won the Super Bowl, and it was awesome. I just remember posting stuff on online about it, and people liked what I had to say, and it feels good. I mean, you like when people agree with you. That's just a natural human reaction. And the thing was, social media can be bad, but it can be great if used correctly. And like it kind of was like an escape. Like the Eagles were an escape, and Twitter was an escape while the bad things in real life were happening. I wasn't avoiding that, but it, at the same time, like because it was always on top of my head, things that were happening to Nick and his family, things were happening to Sean and his family. But I just remember, I wasn't exactly fully sold on myself being a teacher at the time, but I loved writing though. When I was a history major at Westchester, I was writing like 40, 50 pages a week. And it was always like kind of like really awful topics. I had to do a lot of bad history that I had to focus on. So then I started just doing little writing stuff for like the Eagles and just like talking about the Eagles, and people liked what I had to say. And then it kind of just led into everything. And I just remember it was one night, I just walked up to my parents. I'm like, hey guys, like, it was kind of scary, man, because it was like senior of college, end of the road. And I said, hey, like, I don't want to be a teacher anymore. And without hesitating, they said, okay. And they said, we love you. We trust you. You've always been able to decide what's right and wrong for yourself. And they said, whatever you want to do, we have your back 100%. And that's when it all started. I told my teachers, they were like shocked, because they were like, they told me like, you're like the guy, like you were like the teacher, like we were most looking forward to like seeing what happened with your career. Like, you're awesome with the kids, and like they just liked my unique approach to everything. But I was like, it's just not what I want. But they could tell I was sincere with like, and it wasn't just like a rash reaction or anything, because I wasn't doing bad in school. It wasn't like I was just like burned out with or anything. I just was like, this isn't it.
So what was that transition like when you first made that decision to get to where you are now? Like, how did that all unfold?
It was tough, man. I'm gonna be honest, it was tough. I mean, I just went from 4 years and like 300 hours of student teaching to like being like, how am I going to transition to do something that I didn't get a degree for? But at the same time, I was like, well, I kind of did though, because all I did was focus on writing. I've always thought that I was a good storyteller and good at making people feel what I was trying to express. And the big thing was, when I was making the transition, so graduated college, awesome. And the trouble is like, what do I do? Like, do I know anyone? Like, how do I network into getting a job with writing? So all I did was I would just start writing stuff on my own. I do my posts and whatnot, but I'm like, all right, well, I need to make money. So I ended up, my uncle was actually a UPS driver, ended up being like a driver helper for like 3-4 months. And like, that was the thing. That's the funny thing, that was like, people are like, were like getting off and doing like, they're getting jobs after college, and I'm like miserable, freezing cold, delivering packages in like December for like UPS. It's just like, but at the same time, it's like, listen, like, this is like my punishment for waiting this long to like pursue my dream. But at the same time, it's like, I'd rather do this now and be doing like this like side gig as a job than like beating myself up later when I'm like 40, 50 years old saying like, why did you never actually go after your dream? And that's the thing though, like that, like when we saw the bad things that were happening around us, Ty, like we're like, listen, like you, like life can change in an instant. So why do we wait? Like go for the things that you want to go for, like pursue the things you want to pursue. And like, that's why I got like, a person like Kobe Bryant was like such a hero to me, because like he was flawed, and like we grew up and got to see him. Like, that's why people relate and love Kobe Bryant so much. Like, he was a guy that was just always curious, asking questions, but vulnerable though, because people knew the issues that he had. But at the same time, he was a guy that was constantly trying to get better and help other people. And that's something that I always try to live by, like just like the pursuit of perfection. Like and it sounds crazy, but I try to be a perfectionist with stuff. Like, why not? Like, if you're not going to do things 100%, why do them at all?
Exactly. So how'd you end up with 4th and John? You went from delivering packages for UPS and stuff like that, and now you're a writer for 4th and John. You have over 4,000 Twitter followers, all these loyal Eagles fans that follow you and look to you for news and analysis and all that stuff. How did you get to that point?
So between doing all the UPS stuff, the side construction stuff, a little bit of landscaping just to make ends meet, to keep up with my all my student loans and everything, I was writing stuff, I was talking about stuff. I would talk to Gale and E-Rock, like, on social media, because those guys are awesome. Like, they're super open to fan interactions, and always just, like, they love the Eagles so much. Like, they're as genuine as they come. Gale and E-Rock are awesome. They just want to talk about the Eagles, and, like, and they can relate to you about stuff because they're just fans like we are. And the thing was, I started writing, and then, funny enough, is someone DM'd me. It was The Last Word on Sports. They're, like, a small independent writing company, and said, hey, like, do you know anyone that wants to write? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And like, just from the start, I started writing for them, and things just took off. Though my first article ever was about Dakota Allen. He was the linebacker from Last Chance U, and he like shouted me out for the article, and people were like, okay, like I guess like he actually does write good stuff. And then my second article ever was about Mike Mayock, who my uncle's friends with, because he used to stay at his hotel all the time when he was traveling around Philly. Because people don't know, like, he's from Overbrook. He's from Philadelphia, Mike Mayock, the GM of the Las Vegas Raiders. And I won an award, like a peer-reviewed reward for that article. And then after that, Gale reached out, and he's like, hey, man. He goes, if you're going to be writing, like, why not just be writing for the Eagles? And the funniest thing, though, is we ended up, Gale and I ended up having a better relationship before that, because this is why, like, I always believe in, like, the whole destiny thing, especially after the Eagles Super Bowl. Was I was like, dude, I was so confused about what I was going to do, how I was going to do it, but I knew I was going to do it. Like, that was that idea and dream and thought never left my mind. I was like, I'm going to do this. Somehow, some way, I just had to keep pushing. I ended up getting an email for this random contest I entered at like midnight one night, and it was to go on Kyle Brandt's new show, the Kyle Brandt Experience in New York. And I didn't even think anything of it. I was like, oh, but like, I saw the email, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I gotta go. Like, Kyle Brandt's the man. Like, he was the guy that in the media that was fueling the Eagles Super Bowl run. And I ended up going there with my brother, and of course, sitting across from me was Gale, E-Rock, and Evan. And I'm like, dude, like, this is crazy. Because then I'm like, this is like the three guys from 4th and John that like everyone looks up to. They're huge. Like, they have a huge following. They're like part, like, a huge voice of like the Philadelphia Eagles fan base. End up hanging out with them and Kyle Brandt. Awesome experience. Jump back to when Gale reached out to me. He's like, hey, man, like, I didn't know you wrote. I didn't know, like, you're a writer. I'm like, well, back then I really wasn't a writer. Like, I just was a guy that like talking about the Eagles. And he goes, hey, like, you should write for us. I'm like, really? And then, like, this is when I'm like probably 10 articles deep with Last Word. And as much as I liked it, they weren't like specifically Eagles focused, which isn't a problem at all. But like, I wanted to focus on the Eagles, even though I make sure I know about every team, every player, cover all the bases, because I just love football. But then I just started writing for them, and things went really well. My first article really took off. It was called No One Likes Us Because We Care. And it was just about like being an Eagles fan and being an Eagles player. And the cool thing is, like, some players ended up reading it. It really blew up. And like, that was like my first big splash with like the Eagles fan base. And then from there, I had like probably 500, 600 followers. And that was last March, like a year ago. And then now I'm at like 4,600, like 4,200 now. Yeah. Something like that. And the best thing about Eagles fans is, like, we get it. Like, we're crazy. But at the same time, like, if you're an Eagles fan and like an actual Eagles fan and you're not faking it since like the Super Bowl, like people have your back. And that's the thing though, like people look at like followers and everything and it's like, oh, like I have this and that. Like I look at it as like people that support me. Cause these are people that have my back on here or outside of here. Cause like they're Eagles fans. Like a lot of people reach out to me like through DMs. Cause like they'll be like scared to just like post something or question out on the timeline. Cause they think that they're being stupid or like they don't think like, I feel like the reason why the following has gained as much has grown as much as it has is because like you've known me for a while. Like when I talk to people, I want you to feel that like I'm engaged in the conversation. I want you to feel important because you are important. Like if you're taking your time to come up to me because you think I can help you with something or you just want to have a conversation, like I appreciate that because that means that there's a mutual respect there. And that's why I talk to people like I do. It's how I was taught how to conversate with people, and it's how everyone should conversate with people. Everyone has something to give to the conversation. So sometimes Dick, you're on Twitter all the time too, like you see negative interactions and I'm just like, and it just throws me off though. It's just like some people, like I every day I deal with stupid stuff on the timeline, and like most of it I ignore, but like sometimes it's just like it's weird to me how people, they get up in the morning and there's like, listen, like what I want to do is I want to be a negative part of someone's day. It's like that shouldn't be the motivation. And you see it every day. And it's pretty crazy though. And I try to be the opposite. Like I try to be on there and I try to make people feel good about themselves, good about their team, good about a player. Like when I've never been someone that I hate the word too, like that seeks clout or like anything like that. Cause that's not what it's about. It's like, I feel like people like what I say because it's authentic. It's from coming from me. Like I like expressing what I think. I like expressing what I see. And then I just like hearing back what people say and like stuff like that. Like it, cause each person I talk to, it's an individual conversation. Like I don't look at it as me talking to the Twitter world. Like when I talk to someone on there, it's me having a conversation with them. If someone else wants to jump in and they're being positive about it, great. If they want to be negative about it, I want to hear why they think that way, something like that. Like, and that's like a big part. Like it's hard to navigate social media sometimes because it's, you're not directly talking to people. So sometimes people get crazy behind the keyboards.
And I was just going to ask you, it's funny you're giving all those recommendations. Like what other things do you have to say to people that are trying to start their sports writing career? Obviously, like you've grown so much over like the past year or two, and you obviously still have so much more room to grow. But like for a guy that's still close to that spot where you just started, what advice do you have for people that are a couple steps behind?
To the people that are pursuing journalism, like their own blogs, stuff like that, it's like just be you. That's the thing. It doesn't. The thing about this field is, if you're faking it to make it, people realize that, and or it's just going to catch up to you. If you're authentic, if you're trying to be helpful, if you're trying to be positive, people notice and people appreciate that. Like we're from Philadelphia. Like people don't like fake. And the big thing is always be listening. Like there's a difference from like, okay, like I heard you, like, and when people try to give them advice and stuff, but then there's a difference from listening. The big thing is always be open-minded. Talk to people. Don't be scared to reach out to people. People DM me all the time asking if I can retweet, like, or like guest on their stuff. And I'm like, yeah, it's no problem. Like the worst thing you're ever going to get in life is a no. So always be asking questions. Always be unique. Try to give like a fresh spin to something. Listen, no matter what you say or do, there's always going to be someone that disagrees with it. Who cares? It's like, if you're doing it and you know in your mind and your heart that it's for the right reasons, it shouldn't matter because you need to be self-secure in what you're doing and what you're saying. And like one of my biggest things that I live by is like, I'd rather be wrong for the right reasons than right for the wrong reasons. Like if I say the Eagles are going to, like last year after the loss to Miami, I was telling people like, they're going to win the next four games. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Like I get it. But then there's people like, no, like I'd rather have them lose in the playoffs and they get a better draft pick. It's like, what? It's like, you want to be right for the wrong reasons. Like, why would you want them to lose four straight games to an NFC East opponent just for a better draft pick? Like, that kind of stuff makes sense to me. And that's why when, like, you are starting something, like, you want to be unique. Like, sometimes there's, like, the hot takes that you have. But the whole thing is, like, just stand by what you want to say. Like, people notice when, like, you're not all in on even what you're saying. Like, as long as you believe and can support what you're doing and what you're saying, people are going to they're going to vibe with it. I mean, that's what it's all about.
And obviously, as you know, on this podcast and in general with this brand, we love talking about underdog stories and having that chip on your shoulder, that underdog mentality. As a Philly guy who lives and dies with the teams here and who's someone with an underdog story themselves, what does that mentality mean to you, and what does it mean to Eagles fans and Philadelphia fans?
I think it means everything. I mean, no one anywhere in life has it easy. But when you're an Eagles fan, a Sixers fan, a Flyers fan, Phillies fan, it's like you – like, even if you didn't experience the tough times, you've experienced it through your parents. Like, when I get older, like, my kids are going to see me cringe when they should, like, the Kawhi shot. Like, they're going to be like, oh, like, dad doesn't like that. Like, stuff like that. Like, we still get the whole Santa snowball thing, and that happened, like, 60 years ago. Stuff like that. Like, it's ingrained in who we are. Like, it gets passed down. All the stuff. And Philadelphia, like, the reason why, like, you hear outsiders say, like, oh, like, Philadelphia, like, awful fans, this and that, they're crazy. It's like, yeah, we are a little crazy, but it doesn't mean that we're any less than you are, like, not as good as you are, like, as people or anything. Like, we just care about our teams because, like, we're real fans. Like, we're fans that we don't leave before the last whistle. Like, we're there at 6 a.m. for the tailgates. Like, we know who all the players are. Like, that's why it's awesome to get the recognition from people from the outside saying, like, yeah, they're a little crazy, but, like, it's because they care. And that's what, like, my article was about. Like, Eagles fans care so much because some people, they spend their vacation money to go, like, outside of, like, the United States, like, on their vacations. Like, we pay to stay in Philadelphia. We use our vacation money to get tickets. Like, the season ticket line is like 60,000 plus to get tickets. Like there's people who put their kids when they're first born on the season ticket list and they never even get them. Like, it is high demand to go to an Eagles game. Like, people don't understand. Like, that is our vacation. Every Sunday at 1 o'clock or later, like, that is our escape from reality. We have the Eagles. That's why we care so much. When they suck and they do bad, we lose our minds because we waited all damn week and we dealt with all the BS at work and paid and just, like, we, like, focused on, like, getting a win so much on Sunday. When you don't get it, you're disappointed. And, like, people are like, oh, like, why are you all pissed off all week? It's because I care a lot. Like, I want this team to succeed. Like, I have a lot of stock in this. Like, this is a part of me.
Definitely. And of all you've accomplished, you mentioned your articles, your Twitter following, stuff like that, the relationships you've built. What would you say is the one thing that you're most proud of out of everything that you've accomplished?
I think the thing I'm most proud of is definitely just, like, the connections I've made. That's what it's all about. I mean, and the big thing is, like, I try to stay in touch with everyone. It's really nice that every day I can go in person or online to just people I know. And even if we haven't talked a lot, it's always just like we're picking up the conversation just from where it's like we hit a pause button and then it just resumes as soon as we start talking again. It's refreshing though. I love the Eagles fans. They're awesome to me. Whenever I'm getting in, like, a confrontation with someone, there's always people trying to help back me up. Even if, like, I don't need it, but it's always nice to see people that always have my back. And that's what it's all about, though. Like, you see that with the actual Eagles team, and I feel like our fan base embodies that. Like, you see people defending each other on the field, and you see it even on social media. Like, if that we're one fan base, you don't want to piss off, because as soon as one opposing team's fan base comes at one person on the Eagles Twitter, then, like, 80 people, 100 people are, like, harassing that person for the rest of the day.
It is crazy to see. So, one last question. you've always been a positive guy. Like, we've known each other since like what, middle school probably, and you've always just been such a positive, upbeat guy. And I know you went through some tough times, some of which you mentioned. How do you stay positive, and what advice do you have for people out there that might be going through a rough patch in their life?
The thing that I would tell them is life is always going to be difficult. There is going to be highs, there are going to be lows. And the big thing is how you respond to them. Whether, like specifically in my life, I've dealt with friends and family members that are dealing with problems of drugs and alcohol. You and I personally, we've lost several friends and teammates to suicide, overdoses, cancer, and other illnesses. Everyone deals with like relationship problems or just like anything, or even like an Eagles loss that absolutely eats you from the inside. And the thing is, like, you don't gain anything by focusing on it and just focusing on the negative. And the big thing is how you respond. That's about everything in life. Like, it's how you respond to it. Like, you need to see it as a challenge and how you can learn from it, how you can grow from it. Like, that's how it's always been for me. The first big death that really affected my life was my grandfather. I remember I was so pumped up for my senior year of football. And I was like, yeah, like, I'm going to have the senior year of football. It's going to be great. I'm going to graduate. My whole family's going to be there. And like, it wasn't even a thought that he was going to pass away. And he did. And when he did, it was before the season. And I told my coach and I told my friends, I'm like, I'm going to start. I'm going to be the captain of the team. Like, and everything I do from here on out is going to be for him. And I did that. I started, I was the captain of the team, and I made sure I took care of work at school. And that's what's always been about. It's like, how do you respond? People focus on how you respond to adversity more than anything. Like, are you going to crash and burn? Like, it's fight or flight. Like, that's how life is. Like, people, it's okay if you take a little bit of time to just like recollect yourself. But at the same time, like, are you going to stay down or are you going to get up? Because people will forget about you. And not to sound negative, but it's just like that can be the end of your story. Like, with one thing knocks you down and you don't get back up, it's like, then that's it. What are you doing with the time that you have? What are you doing with, because nothing's guaranteed. And that's how I am. Like, every second of the day, I'm trying to take advantage of it. And obviously, like, we're not perfect. Like, I have days where I'm just like, I'm on Netflix, or I'm just like hanging out playing video games, or I'm just like, I just go to the park with like my dog and hang out. But like, at the same time, it's like, you need those mental rest days sometimes. But at the same time, it's like, my brain's active. I'm actively thinking about what I'm going to do next and how I'm going to accomplish it. And that's the important thing.
I'm so fired up right now from that little speech right there. That was awesome. And that's what Philly's all about too. I mean, that just embodies like bouncing back from adversity. That kind of reminds me of just like Rocky and all the different Philly sports moments in our lives. So that was great. Before we wrap things up, do you want to tell people where they can find you, how they can support you, everything you got going on?
So I mainly operate on Twitter. My username is Mallee, MALLEE _Chris, CHRS _24. Or you can just look up Chris Mallee on Twitter. Talk a lot of Eagles, cover the NFL, and just like football in general. But I love talking all sports. If you ever want to have talk about anything, you can always talk directly on the timeline, in the direct messages. Seriously, guys, I'm always available if you need help with anything. I try to get to respond to every single person that reaches out. If you want to talk about anything, seriously, it's always open.
Well, dude, this was awesome, and thank you so much for coming on. I know you're gonna get so far with the attitude you have, the mindset you have, and just the way you approach people and conversation. So I really appreciate you coming on.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on. Stay safe, brother.
Huge thanks to Chris Mallee for joining me and sharing his story. Go follow him on Twitter if you don't already. It's at Mallee _Chris_24. Or just search Twitter for Chris Mallee and he'll pop right up. And don't forget to join our Underdog newsletter. Every Tuesday, I send out articles, videos, and podcast interviews on the best underdog stories in sports. It's a great way to start your week. To join us, just go to jokermag.com/newsletter. That's jokermag.com/newsletter. Thanks for tuning in, and always remember, Hustle and Motivate is brought to you by jokermag.com, the home of the underdog.